Paul, let me ask you something. Do you like your family?
It's a really complicated question, Steve. I didn't realize this is where we're going to be going right now.
No, I mean, do you like seeing pictures of your family?
Yeah, sure. Pictures of my family are nice. Yes, sir.
Okay, I've got a great recommendation for you. It is the Aura frame. You've probably seen some of these before. You go to your friend's house and they have a frame on the cabinet or in the living room or whatever, and it has digital photos.
Sure. Yes.
Well, I got this thing and I set it up, super easy to set up. I basically dumped a bunch of photos from my phone right onto it. Very easy to do. Took me just minutes.
All this sounds scary to me.
No, it's incredibly easy.
It's not hard. Okay.
And basically you can put like, seems like an almost infinite amount of photos on this thing. And then you can set the parameters and it can rotate your family through like every 30 seconds.
Amazing.
And it's great because I've got pictures of my son, my family.
Cool.
My dad passed away a few years ago. I get to see him popping up every now and then. The good ghosts of your personal history coming through on this thing.
Nice. That's nice.
They have a great deal for Mother's Day, so listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code ChinWagPod at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yes, Chinwag is alive again. It's alive.
Do you wake up every morning like that? Like just
glad that I'm alive.
Glad to be alive. Oh, people,
I'm alive. Just hopping out of bed. You know, I'm not. Are you a morning person? Are you not a morning person?
You know, I was never a morning person. But then when you raise a kid and like you have to wake up on their schedule for decades, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
So you get reprogrammed.
Yeah, yeah. And with school, too, you probably have to get up, too, pretty early.
Well, right? Not as a college professor. I can schedule it all late. That's the beauty of being.
Really?
I could make all night classes if I wanted to. It's sweet.
Really? I'll tell you, one of the worst things about being an actor is the early mornings.
Is it oftentimes early call?
Yeah, very early. Sometimes you're up at like 4 o'clock in the morning stuff and going in. Yeah, it's crazy hours. It could be really like the early morning thing. I won't miss it, Steve, when I pack it in, when I retire, I won't miss it. Yes, a professor's life is far more glamorous. You're able to set your own schedule. It's true. I have no say over my schedule as an actor. But when are you done?
Like, is it like 5 p.m.? Like,
no, the days are endless. The days are endless. You're supposed to be done at 5 p.m. It goes, the days will go on forever, but you'll get paid. Oh, you'll get overtime. Man, there's always that, Steve.
Nice.
So, you know, it could be worse. Could be worse. We could be trapped at the bottom of the Mariana Trench.
That's right. We could be in the briny deep.
We could be sunk deep in the briny shallows. Shallows? No, the shallows are, But indeed, we're here for the second part of our in-depth discussion of the mysteries of the deep, the mysteries
the
of the ocean.
The aquatic cryptids. Right?
The aquatic cryptids. Last week we talked. What did we covered Atlantis?
Yes, Atlantis and Bermuda Triangle, maybe.
And the old Bermuda Triangle. Yep, the old Bermuda Triangle. God, a lifetime fascination I've had with the Bermuda Triangle. But this is another deep dive, right, into cryptids and monsters of the deep. All right.
Oh, we got to remind people to get on down and rank and review us. Please give us those stars. That's very helpful for us. So
that's
we
true.
Forget to say it sometimes, but we really appreciate it. So
nicely
thank you.
Done. Correct, Steve. Nicely done. And keep the letters and mail coming because we like to read those.
It really like gets us going. The fan mail is great.
Yeah, amazing stuff. So here we go. Now down to the deeps we go with the second part of our Mysteries of the Oceans.
listener. It's Zach Harper, Amin Alhassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Ascertain?
Yes.
Okay. Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
We have arrived at the giant squid.
Amazing.
And other creatures of the unknown deep. And I want to talk us through one of the great cryptids. And we've talked about cryptids many times on the Chinwag, most of whom never are sort of brought into the pantheon of real creatures. They just remain...
Of reality.
Yeah, of reality.
The pantheon of reality.
They remain like Sasquatch, just
are there
on
levels
the border.
Of things being real? Yes. Are there things less real? Are there things that are more real? I'd like, what is the pantheon exactly? And where do I fit in, Steve? That's what I want to know.
You are squarely outside the pantheon.
I'm not real at all. I'm not even in the pantheon of reality. You're probably right.
But this is like one of those areas where we thought this thing like might exist. We were drawn to it. There's a literature about it. There's all this great, there's like poems by Tennyson. There's all this stuff about the Kraken.
Yeah.
And then we discover, holy fuck, this thing is real.
It's real.
And that's the giant squid.
And it was blamed. It was crazy sightings of crazy things at sea were attributed to what was actually turns out to be the giant squid.
Uh-huh. Guys if sailors had a long tradition of this thing called the Kraken, and the Kraken is it's actually a Norwegian word, which means crooked. And it basically, people in the North Atlantic were the ones that frequently said they spotted this thing, the Kraken, giant creature, many tentacles, actually real quick. But there's a fucking crazy.
Many tentacles.
Okay.
Yes.
There's a creature that Linnaeus describes called the it's like the microcosmos or something in Latin. And it's a creature that he says is made up of many other creatures.
Oh,
so
weird.
Creepy.
Really?
So
and when is this? Like, this is like what, the 1700s?
You ever seen the John Carpenter's The Thing?
Sure.
Where it's like made up of like fucking dogs coming out here and humans.
Yeah, it's a snake and a dog and a guy.
Linnaeus in the 1700s describes this creature in the sea that's made up of many other creatures. Many people think it's based on sailor stories about the either giant octopuses or giant squid.
It's a kind of ass covering, like just all purpose. Like it's that thing. It's the tail of that thing. It's the head of that thing. It's the left leg of that thing. That's interesting. Oh, interesting.
So you know, of course, and I know you're a fan of Jules Verne, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. That's 1870. Mm-hmm. And so there, Captain Nemo and the crew are attacked by many squids. And then apparently Victor Hugo writes a book called The Toilers of the Sea, which is about an evil octopus. Did you ever read that? That's 1866.
You want to know something? I've read
it.
I've actually read it. The guy battles a gigantic octopus. It's part of the book. It's not the whole book, but a guy battles a gigantic octopus. Yeah.
It's a crazy fucking book. It sounds amazing.
It's great. Yeah.
And then a lot of this is based on Alfred Tennyson's poem called The Kraken. Now that I have read, it's short and sweet. And it's sort of like there's an apocalyptic force that's down at the bottom of the ocean, and it's going to rise one day. And Tennyson's fantastic. I love Tennyson.
Yeah, yeah.
And then this may have influenced, looks like it influenced Lovecraft. Who
H.P. Lovecraft
the
sort of Cthulhu and all these monsters coming out of the, living in these kind of scary temples at the bottom of the sea and stuff.
Right. But the difference there is, I guess, for Lovecraft, Cthulhu is basically like an alien of some kind.
It's from outer space.
Whereas I think for these other characters, this is a deep sea biological monster of
some kind. It's earthly. It's coming out of our own earth. It's like, yeah, right.
So, okay, so I did the research and I found that there are three squids we have to at least wrestle with.
Okay.
If you will, sir.
Yes, sir.
One is the giant squid.
Yeah.
And this is the longest squid, which is up to 40, like the longest one we found is 43 feet, but the legend is that it can get up to 60 feet long.
And is that from tail to tip of tentacle? Or is that like, that's the whole shebang?
Whole shebang.
That's the whole fucking thing. Okay.
So there's the sort of body of the squid. Then there's the 8 tentacles and then the 2 extra long tentacles with these kind of sucker clubs at the end for feeding. And that
octopuses don't have those, the 2 extra long
things. No, they don't have the 2 extra. They don't have the 2 extra ones. The giant squid can be up to 600 pounds. But then
that's a lot of calamari, let me tell you. That's a lot of calamari. That is a lot of calamari, let me tell you. That is stupid.
The colossal, however, is not as long, only goes to about 35 feet, but way fatter, more girth on the colossal. The colossal squid.
I've never even heard of the colossal squid. Dude, this is a thing?
Now, come on, yes. The colossal is double the weight. It's 1,300 pounds. It's fucking heavy.
Huge.
Yeah.
Holy cow. But not as long. Okay.
But not as long. We believed, we thought these might exist because we were finding them in the gut of sperm whales. And sometimes if they died and washed up the shore, you'd see the residual, the leftover of this thing.
Yeah. Okay.
But we had never really, so it totally was a cryptid.
Like a sperm whale would barf it up too, maybe too.
Right. You'd see like sucker patterns.
They'd find
patterns.
It in a sperm whale's stomach and shit.
Yes. Yeah. And on the skin of the sperm whale would be like tentacle marks, like, you know, leftover like marks on the thing.
Oh, wow.
But the one that is the most scary, and I got to say, this is my fear, is like deep water shit like this.
I know.
This stuff like lives way in the cold waters. Like mostly in like Northern Atlantic, but also in like off the coast of New Orleans.
Really?
Like 100 miles in the Gulf. They've had video of giant
squid.
This
thing, what is this thing?
Okay. The one that is by far the most terrifying is called the big fin squid or the magna pinna, which means big fin in Latin.
Uh-huh.
And this is... seriously, it is the most frightening thing I've ever seen. It's like the body is at the top and then it kinks out like it has elbows. And then it just drops these spindly fucking arms into the deep. And it lives in the deepest water, what's called the Hadal zone. It looks like an alien. And
what
we didn't
the
even,
fuck? I've never even heard of this.
Dude,
have they seen this thing? Or is it just like...
There's video from 2003 or something, or 2007 is when they started to get video for it. You will not sleep tonight.
Motherfucking Bigfoot squid. It's just like...
It's total alien.
Wow, I've never even heard of this. Does it move around a lot or does it hang out in one area and kind of feed
Mostly it's like it's hanging its tentacles almost like, you know how like a man of war... lay these tentacles down and just collect shit that it runs into.
I got stung by one of those fucking things. Not
did
a man
you really?
War, but a jellyfish with the fucking tentacle.
Where were you?
Thing. So in the Mediterranean. I was
off
Tel Aviv. It hurt like a motherfucker. Yeah.
What'd you
and
do?
My
did
back
you pee
went
on
into
it?
Spasms too. Yeah. I tried to pee on it. I tried to pee over my
it was
shoulder.
On your back?
I was like, somebody's got to pee on it. And I tried to pee on myself. And then you can imagine how that went.
It was my back.
I got it back and it was like these big welts sort of on it. And back went into spasm too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because it attacks the muscles and.
Well, it just made my back go bananas.
Freeze up.
Anyway, yeah. So it's got
mostly it's hanging like that, but then there's video of it have like when it wants to, it can move as fast as lightning, and all these tentacles suddenly are in play.
Oh, weird.
Oh, dude, it's so scary. It's super weird.
That is fucking freaky.
Yeah. So if you ever made up a creature that like was an alien and you thought, well, this can't be real, then you take a look at the big fin squid.
Here it is.
Monsters are as old as humanity itself. Monsters embody our fears. Yet, They help us define the boundaries of what it means to be human. We know most monsters aren't real, yet we can use monsters to learn about reality. Psychology, biology, folklore, literature, critical thinking. We're on a journey to learn about the world through the lens of monsters. And we hope you'll come along with us. Subscribe at monstertalk.org.
We know like 2% of the ocean. That's all we
know.
That's
the thing. That's what I mean. Yeah. It's like there's this hugely and there's all those things that live down by the like the thermal, these thermal cracks.
Thermal vents.
Thermal vents. Thank you. Vent, crack. And these thermal vents, like these gigantic fucking albino crabs that are like the size of a Volkswagen bug and shit like that. Yeah. But so the squids, now I remember they actually got footage. Didn't they get footage of a live one? Only pretty recently.
Yes. They got footage
like Japanese,
in Japan. Yeah. Yes. In Japan, they got a lot of people were trying to catch these things by, but they were using like motorized things. And this woman built a really cool camera that was attached to a light that looked like it was like a jellyfish. And that drew the one in Japan. And then she built another one and used it in the Gulf. And that's what captured this footage.
The fucking Bigfoot thing, the big fin.
Of this giant, that was trying to tag it.
Holy fuck, I've never even heard of that one.
It's so cool.
That's so crazy. It's so cool.
And the one argument is there's this thing called polar gigantism, where like in these cold waters, either up in the polar areas, like near Norway and shit, or just really deep down, like you could be in the Gulf and just be a mile down and it's cold as fuck. That's where the oxygen is very high, and they believe the metabolism of the creature is really low, but that means like longer life and bigger bodies.
Bigger.
So you get that Greenland shark that
you've seen. The crazy 500-year-old shark and shit like that. And these fucking crabs and all these weird armored fucking
fish. Yeah, the crabs are a perfect example. Yeah,
and those crazy ass things with the luminous and the bioluminescence is cool too.
Oh,
the way they glow and stuff. And there's those fucking things that have the bulb that grows off their head. You seen those fucking things?
Yes,
they're
it's like a lure.
And they're like it looks like a fucking crazy tank or something. Those things, this giant fucking jaw, these fucking teeth.
I'm actually sweating right now just fucking talking about this.
This stuff really does freak you out.
Yeah,
I love that thing. Have you ever seen the Humboldt squid?
I don't think I have.
The Humboldt squid is a smaller squid. And I mean, I think it's by that, I mean, it's probably like 5 feet long or something like that, 4 feet long. These things actually scare me because, and apparently they're proliferating. They're a little out of control. And I think you get them down, I feel like they're down in the south, in the Pacific, like off of California, you get
them
too.
Are they like cuttlefish?
I guess so. Is a cuttlefish fatter? Like what's it? Yeah, I think
well,
so.
It's like a cephalopod. It's got like tentacles, but it's shorter and fatter.
Yes. Yeah. And they swim around these fucking packs of them, and they're really vicious, and they're out of control, and they're really violent, and they're really fast and strong, and they seem to be really fucking smart. There's a great thing I've seen, which is an underwater camera that's filming these fucking things. And this one of them, I think they even tagged it or something so they could tell it was the same one. So one of them kind of kept coming back to the camera, and he would kind of swim around in front of the camera with the big fucking eye they have, that one big eye. And the thing's kind of swimming around in front of the camera and shit. And it kind of keeps coming back and kind of looking at the camera. And then at some point, it's sitting down there in the camera, and it starts touching the camera with its tentacles, reaches up, and it turns the camera off.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Turns the camera off.
Some
and it's
of these
like probably just coincidence,
smart.
But the thing seems to be like, yeah, they seem like octopuses
like the octopus,
are really smart.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
very
they're really
smart.
Fucking smart. And I have
and
a whole
look
theory
like aliens.
That they do. And I have a whole theory that jellyfish are secretly really fucking smart. That we think they're not. They just
they
float around.
Be. They might
but
be.
But I'm like, if there's any alien being on this fucking planet, it's a fucking jellyfish. I mean, what the fuck?
They look dumb because they're slow. But if you think about time scale, like, if you were to speed that shit up, they might be what really look very intelligent.
Well, they can move real fucking fast if they want to. I mean, they can do that fucking whoosh, that fucking, you know, the whoosh, the thing where
and
they
the giant squids can do that too, very fast. Like, they put the fluid, they got three brains, the giant squids. Yeah, three brains. and blue blood, and then that crazy carrot, like parrot beak thing.
Oh, yeah, they got a beak.
Yeah.
That's right. They got a fucking beak. And when they whoosh like that, is it just the pressure of the legs, or do they have a, like an actual thing that can whoosh water out
there?
They
actually like seem, I'm not sure about this, but I believe they actually can suck in water and use the water as propulsion going both forward and backwards.
You know what? So can I.
I've seen you do it. I have seen you do
just
it.
Just so you know, so can I.
So that is my whole screed.
That's
on
amazing.
The fucking giant
and super
squid.
Fascinating. They're super fascinating. It's super strange. Are. And it's interesting because
they're real.
And they're real. And it goes to the things you're always saying of like, well, maybe there's a race of weird apes out there that we haven't figured out because, you know, because these things have been unseen alive for so long that it's like, yeah, maybe. I don't
it's
know.
True.
But it leads me another topic that I think is interesting since we're on the topic of, because there's so many things we could talk about. We could talk about, I mean, it's that crazy whale who has the weird signal, the weird sonar, the one whale, the rogue whale that has the weird signal that doesn't match any other whale's frequency.
No, I
mean, all these weird sorts of things that we could talk about. But that, the giant squid leads me because it is what would be termed a USO, not UFO, a USO, which is variously spelled out as unidentified submerged object, unidentified submersible object, or unidentified submarine object, depending on who you're reading. I see different things. But essentially, a USO could be something like you're talking about. And in fact, there was a thing I read about, this thing called the USS Stein, I think it was called. 1978 was a destroyer escort motoring along and their sonar starts going out. Something's interfering with their sonar and really knocking it out. When they finally can check it out, they find these claw marks on the coating of the sonar dome that match the beak and some of the those grabber tentacles you're talking about of a giant squid.
No
shit. So they think that the boat was attacked by a giant squid.
Holy
but it constitutes
crap.
A USO now. It constitutes
because they can't identify it. Exactly.
They don't identify it, but they could. And it was another thing that I read about. In 1976, a torpedo recovery boat is riding what's called a cargo parachute. I don't know exactly what this means, but it's some sort of underwater parachute that's acting as an anchor to keep the boat in place. I don't know. It's something they do. And something attacks the parachute and begins fighting so hard. It's pulling the winch. It's stopping the winch that's holding the parachute.
Terrifying.
Something so fucking huge.
Terrifying, dude.
Right? They finally, it stops. They reel it in, and it's a 15-foot, 750-pound megamouth shark has now choked on the parachute and died.
Oh my God.
Nobody had ever seen a megamouth shark before. So it's the first actual landing and sighting of this thing called the megamouth shark. And this happens too with the whale shark, which is another, like, you know, all these things.
Giant mouth, right?
Giant mouth, but they're classified as USOs. But of course, this then leads our friends in the UFO community to apply USO to what is posited as the idea that UFOs are coming from underwater. This whole theory that actually the UFOs are marine-based.
That's where they're staying.
Well, they may be staying there. They may have come from outer space and figured this is where we can hide. Some people posit that their fuel system is based on ocean water somehow. I don't know how, but somebody, so they're like, it's a big gas station for them. You know, they're pulling up. Or, and this is what I like, they're from down there.
Oh,
that actually,
God,
they're from down there.
Dude, we're back to the hollow earth.
Right? And it does. It ties into the kind of more fringe theories. It goes into the hollow earth, and it does say that it's a race from within the hollow earth that has built these bases. And there's actually something off the coast of Malibu, I think, that's called like the Malibu Shelf or something like that, which is some odd formation that these people think is an underwater base because it looks like this sort of roof with columns holding it up.
It looks like and technology.
Yeah, it looks like it was made by creatures. So it's a whole bunch of, and a lot of UFO sightings happen around bodies of water too, rivers, lakes, oceans, and particularly a lot of those things recently, right? It's all of those Navy pilots.
They're going across the water,
ships.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of that
some
shit.
Some go into the water, right?
Some go into the water.
Yeah.
And some, I think, have been seen coming out of the water, too. The fucking Tic Tac thing goes in and out of the water.
They're like, we don't have this technology to go and in and
no,
out of
No, nobody
water,
has any technology that goes in and out of the water like that. That's a craft going in and out of the water like that. So that's a whole other theory is that, you know, that it's these unidentified submarine objects, which could cover a giant squid. But for the UFO community, it's UFO bases. In my researching of this subject, I came across a really cool thing that I do just want to like tell you about because I thought this is really cool. And it is posited by the UFO community as an early UFO encounter, but definitely an early USO encounter something coming from the water. It's 1803 in Japan.
1803, shit.
Yes. And the eastern coast of Japan in the Hitachi province. And they encountered this thing that's called in Japanese the Utsuro Bune, which means something like hollow boat or empty boat or something like that. So fishermen find this thing floating in the sea. It's 10 feet tall by about 17 feet wide. And they say it looks like an incense burner. So it's kind of like, it's like oval almost, as if it's like two bowls.
Almost like a craft.
Yeah. So it's floating in there. The top is made of lacquered wood, which I love. The lacquered rosewood and the lower plate is the lower portion of it is all metal plates. The
whole thing is plated. This is
1803. Like, the windows, it has windows around the outside of it. I mean, it's like, it sounds like a UFO.
Yeah.
It has these
or like
round,
a little submarine, like a or early a little submarine.
Glass or crystal windows, they're barred. Inside of it, they find bedding, cakes, a water bottle. Inside of it, it's inscribed in hieroglyphs. And a 5 foot tall woman with pale pink skin, long red hair that has white furry extensions in the hair, speaks an unknown language, and she's holding this box 2 feet long, oblong box, and no, she won't let anybody touch it. She won't let anybody near the box.
Holy shit.
And what's really great is there's different versions of this story too, which is what I love too. There's
all these different. It has a mythological quality.
It totally does.
Like
it totally does.
Folklore.
There's some speculation. There's a myth about a moon maiden in Japan, a woman who comes down from the moon. She marries.
Yeah.
The emperor wants to marry her.
Yeah.
And she won't. She goes back to the moon. So
Mooncake festival.
Yeah. So it gets sort of like, but this woman, but then there's different versions where she looks different. Her hair's a different color. And it's all collected in these different collections of legends and stuff. But, you know, apparently it's based on something real. And there are different reports about it. And one guy that I loved is that one of these stories has one of the fishermen speculating that she'd been banished from somewhere because she had fallen in love with the son of the king and she shouldn't. And that what she has in the box is the guy's head. She has her lover's severed head in the box. I love that's the guy's like, oh, I know what happened. I know what's going on. Don't touch that box because it's got her boyfriend's head in it. Which
I
love it. But it's really, it's a super weird story. And I loved it. And it's all this kind of, again, there's a lot of speculation that there was contact was happening with the Russians, the British, the Americans was beginning to happen and stuff like this. And that maybe it was a little bit of a kind of reaction to this idea of foreigners because she was speaking a language nobody knew. And the writing was writing that nobody could identify and stuff like that. And basically they put her back in the thing and she goes back out to sea and nobody saw it.
And there's a lot of anxiety about like what kind of technology do our enemies have, you know, or, you know what I mean? Like our allies, our enemies. And so I would imagine that there's a lot of projection, like there's a lot of idealism. Oh my God, they're going to have this amazing fucking shit that we don't have.
Yeah.
Or they don't have, you know, they basically don't even have the wheel yet. It's like a way of like projecting like anxieties about your competition with
That's what it seems like
societies.
It could be. Yeah. But it's
strangely specific too. Like,
isn't it?
Like the wood is like, it's like a lacquered wood on top.
Yes, that's what I think is so great about it. Is the details of it are really specific that she had weird white extensions in her hair and stuff like that. And like, it's really like, there's something about it that feels oddly convincing in some weird way. You can just imagine And I just have to imagine somebody has to have made a weird movie about this. There's got to be some great Japanese movie about it.
I had never heard of USOs before. Like, when you describe it to me, it makes perfect sense. Like, let's imagine that, like an H.G. Wells scenario where alien, or even just panspermia is the idea that life is... Panspermia is the idea that, like, life is coming, like, in a seed form from another part of the galaxy or another part of the universe and landing on Earth and developing here. Yeah. Why should we assume that the terrestrial form, which produced us, is the dominant form? Why not, like, a fucking deep water?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's the thing, like, that's been here longer. And that's the thing that's been here. And they developed
now
this technology.
Even more intelligent.
Holy
fuck.
Holy shit. I got to tell you, the transpermia, besides the word freaking me out, giving me a little bit of a thrill, it's the idea of that really freaks me out. The notion that it's this accident that just like, you know, we came on a meteor or something, or we came, oh my God, that's just like, that makes me just go, what is the point? It's cool, but it just makes me go, makes me want to throw myself under a bus. I'm like, what is the point?
That
it's just this accident.
You're not special.
No.
Yeah, you're not special.
It makes me feel not special, Steve. And I like to feel that I'm special.
Hey.
I'm an actor, Steve. I like to feel special.
Fans of the chin wag, just know that you are special.
Thank you, Steve. You know what? You guys are special. You're particularly special that you've listened to us natter on with this bullshit for I don't know how long now.
This is some deep flummery right
this
here.
This is some deep, deep, deep dive flummery, but it's some good stuff. And there will be more in the future, I'm sure. There's other things we didn't even get to that we can get to at some point in the future. But this was one hell of a wag.
One hell of a ride.
Boy, I'm all wet now. Oh, that sounds weird. Why did I say that? Jesus.
But relevant, yes.
Relevant, but relevant.
You're all wet like a USO.
Indeed. Thank you. And that's it for the chin wag from us for now.
So wag on, weirdos.
Wag on, weirdos. Chin wag out. And we will have a bonus wag here in a few days. And we'll see you here for next week for another scintillating chin wag. Correct, Steve?
Yes, always.
No. And if you think we've had enough of squids, we're going to be talking about octopi. Is it octopi, octopuses?
We're going to
be talking
both.
About. Yeah, we're going to be talking both. About. Yeah, so we're going to be talking about that next week, the fascinating creatures. Thank you for listening once again.
Yeah.
Steve, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Paul.
Absolutely.
It's always a pleasure, my man.
Indeed, indeed. Wag on, weirdos.
Chinwag is a production of Treefort Media and Touchy Feely Films, hosted and executive produced by Paul Giamatti and Stephen Asma. Executive producers for Treefort are Kelly Garner and Lisa Ammerman. Dan Carey is executive producer for Touchy Feely. Our series producer is Rachel Whitley Bernstein. Original theme music by Luke Topp, with additional music by Via Mardot. Oscar Guido is our executive in charge of production. Tom Monahan is head of audio for Treefort. Audio production supervision by Matt Dyson. Editing and mixing by Jeff Neal. Animation created by Alex Sokol. Research assistance by Aiden Brooks. Lastly, for more information, go to chinwagpod.fm and find us on Instagram or TikTok at chinwagpod or on Twitter at chinwag_pod.